This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. The New York Times is reporting that Russian troops have seized the strategically important city of Kherson in southern Ukraine. Kherson is situated on an inlet from the Black Sea and has a population of nearly 300,000, but the status of the city is in dispute. The Times cited Kherson Mayor Igor Kolikayev as saying the Ukrainian army had retreated and the city is now surrounded by Russian troops. The mayor also told reporters that about 10 armed Russian officers, including the Russian commander, had entered City Hall. But the Washington Post reported that the situation is still fluid. In a Facebook post, the mayor denied that there were negotiations with the so-called armed visitors, but he also laid out in a Facebook post his list of 6 requirements for the citizens of the city, including a nightly curfew and a ban on pedestrians walking together in groups. Drivers were asked to travel at minimum speeds inside the city and to be ready to stop and have their cars searched. In an interview for Sky News, Zanish Hussein, who lives in Kherson, says he's seen no sign of Ukrainian forces and believes Russian troops have taken the city.
When I woke up with the loud bangs outside, I just opened up my window and I saw like the tanks that are literally standing 10 meters away from my house. And there's soldiers there firing warning shots, just telling civilians to go back in. And there are people running on the street. It was horrifying.
A Ukrainian Armed Forces spokesman told the Washington Post, the battle continues. Meanwhile, explosions struck the Ukrainian capital Kyiv, and Russian troops continued to lay siege to Kharkiv in the northeast of Ukraine. More on that and all the stories we're covering at our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. The White House announced new sanctions Wednesday on Russia and Belarus over the invasion of Ukraine. The sanctions, which target the defense and oil sectors, will severely limit the ability of Russia and Belarus to obtain the materials they need, according to a White House statement. Materials they need to support their military aggression against Ukraine, again, the words of the White House, as well as project power in ways that threaten regional stability and undermine global peace and security. The new sanctions also will target entities associated with Russian and Belarusian militaries that make combat aircraft, infantry fighting vehicles, electronic warfare systems, missiles, and unmanned aerial vehicles for Russia's military. Additionally, the U.S. and its allies are seeking to restrict what they call technology exports in the oil industry, hoping to reduce Russia's status in the energy industry. Authorities in southwestern Pakistan said Wednesday a roadside bomb explosion had killed at least 3 people, including a senior officer, and wounded 24 others. Initial police reports found the bomb was hidden in a motorbike parked along a main road and targeted a police convoy in central Quetta, the capital of Baluchistan province. A hospital spokesman said several of the wounded were in critical condition, and he feared the death toll could rise. At least 10 policemen were among the injured. There were no immediate claims of responsibility for the deadly attack. Federal jury in Washington, D.C. heard attorneys' opening statements Wednesday for the first trial stemming from the riot at the U.S. Capitol last year on January the 6th. The Wiley Guy Wesley Reffitt of Wiley, Texas, is charged with bringing a gun onto Capitol grounds and interfering with police officers who were guarding the building on January 6, 2021. Reffitt is also charged with threatening his teenage children if they reported him to authorities. The latest figures from the World Health Organization show the number of new COVID-19 cases reported globally dropped by 16% last week. That marks a month-long decline in COVID-19 infections. In its weekly report on the pandemic, the WHO also said that deaths fell by 10%, continuing a drop in fatalities first seen last week. WHO said there were more than 10 million new cases and about 60,000 deaths globally. And the U.S. space agency NASA reports the moon is about to get hit by 3 tons of space junk. It's an impact that is expected to carve out a huge new lunar crater on the far side of the moon. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. You're listening to VOA News. We'll be right back.
Today is Thursday, March 3rd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Ofo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, the UN votes for an immediate halt to Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the withdrawal of its forces.
It's really a rebuke when you only get five countries, or actually really only four, to support you because Russia was the fifth. So only Russia, Belarus, who's helping them prosecute this war.
The European Union delivers weapons to Ukraine and slams punishing sanctions on Moscow.
Ukraine has always wanted to be part of the EU. I mean, very early on after independence, they moved in that direction, but it's always been a struggle.
And Burkina Faso's six-year conflict with terrorist groups spreads to the southwest. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. The UN General Assembly voted at an emergency special session Wednesday to demand an immediate halt to Moscow's offensive against Ukraine and withdrawal of all Russian troops, with very strong support from the world's organization's 193 member nations. The vote on the resolution entitled, quote, Aggression Against Ukraine, unquote, was 141-5 with 35 abstentions. Russia got support for its appeal to vote against the resolution only from Belarus, Syria, North Korea, and Eritrea. The abstentions included China and India as expected, but also some surprises from usual Russian allies, Cuba and Nicaragua. For more, I spoke with VOA's UN correspondent Margaret Bashir.
Of course, it's a rebuke on Russia when 141 of the UN member states vote to condemn it for its invasion of its neighbor, Ukraine. And it's really a rebuke when you only get five countries, or actually really only four, to support you because Russia was the fifth. So only Russia, Belarus, who's helping them prosecute this war, Syria, who Russia helps militarily in its own civil war, and then Eritrea and North Korea, who it's helped many times trying to get sanctions lifted. These are the only countries that came to Moscow's side in the UN General Assembly today and stood with them. And traditional allies like Serbia, very close traditional ally of Russia, they voted to condemn Russia today. And in fact, their ambassador was rather emotional when he read the statement. And then you had other countries like Nicaragua and Cuba, Iran, traditional supporters of Moscow, very aligned with Moscow, and they abstained in the vote. So they just didn't want to take a side because it was too tricky a spot for them. So it was a big defeat for Moscow today in the UN General Assembly. And while the resolution doesn't carry the backing of international law like ones in the Security Council do, it most definitely carries the weight of the international community, of the opinion and the moral stance of the international community. So symbolically, it's a big blow for Moscow.
Has Moscow reacted to this overwhelming rebuke?
At the UN, the ambassador before the vote was trying to couch it a bit. He was telling people, don't believe the false videos you see online. We're not bombing civilians. We're not bombing civilian infrastructure. He was trying to dismiss some of the accusations that have been made against Moscow. But basically, you know, it's very hard to deny things that are basically happening on live television.
This is a symbolic vote. Is the United Nations moving ahead with this? And what next is possible?
I think the next step will be in the Security Council. There's going to be a vote probably before the end of this week on a humanitarian resolution that France and Mexico are putting forward, and that would guarantee safe and unhindered aid access to aid workers in Ukraine trying to help people there suffering from the war and those trying to flee. Russia could veto it. We don't know yet. They said they won't say what their position is yet on it. There's still negotiations going on that. And that's the main thing that we're going to wait for here next at the UN. But in the meantime, the Secretary General has repeatedly offered his good offices to try and help. And the main role of the UN right now is in the humanitarian sphere.
That's VOA's UN correspondent Margaret Bashir speaking with me from the United Nations. The European Union has delivered weapons to Ukraine and slapped punishing sanctions on Moscow in some of its strongest actions against Russia in years. But it is unclear how Brussels will respond to Ukraine's call for fast-track membership to the bloc. Lisa Bryan reports from Paris.
Life will win over death, and light.
President Volodymyr Zelensky's address to the European Parliament this week brought tears to the eyes of hardened lawmakers. They delivered Ukraine's leader a standing ovation as he talked about how Ukrainians are fighting for their freedom and very lives.
But we are fighting also to be equal members of Europe. I believe that today we are showing everybody that's exactly what we are. The European Union is going to be much stronger with us, that's for sure.
It's just the latest plea from Kiev to join the 27-member bloc. On Monday, Zelensky submitted a formal application for EU membership.
Ukraine has always wanted to be part of the EU. I mean, very early on after independence, they moved in that direction, but it's always been a struggle.
Amanda Paul is senior analyst at the European Policy Center, a Brussels-based research group.
But the moment now is very opportune. It's a serious situation in Ukraine. Ukrainians have shown themselves to be very brave, to be standing up for European security. So I think that there will be a strong force within the EU itself from many member states to actually push this thing forward as quick as it can be.
Over time, they belong to us. They are one of us, and we want them in.
Speaking to Euronews, European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen echoed the sentiment of a number of EU leaders. But some of Ukraine's biggest champions, mostly Eastern and Central European states, want to speed up the membership process. EU leaders will reportedly discuss the topic at a summit in Paris next week. Europe's older members appear to be more hesitant about delivering a speedy answer.
Mais oui, bien sûr que les Ukrainiens sont des Européens. Oui, bien sûr, ils le proclament.
Of course, the Ukrainians are European. They proclaim it. They have our values, France's foreign minister Jean-Yves Le Drian said this week. But he suggested any membership decision would not be immediate. Ukraine has long aspired to join the bloc when its former pro-Russian president Viktor Yanukovych refused to sign a much looser association agreement with Brussels. Popular protests in 2014 ousted him. Soon after, Russia annexed the Crimea. Even fast-tracked EU membership can take years. It demands meeting a raft of regulations spanning sectors from the environment to rule of law and finance. There's already a lineup of other candidates. Some aren't so sure Ukraine can jump the line. Adding to potential hesitancy, some of the Europeans' newer members, like Poland and Hungary, have flouted EU standards on key areas like rule of law. But analyst Amanda Paul believes even offering an affirmative first nod to Ukraine's future candidacy will make a difference as the Russian invasion stretches on.
It will definitely be a massive psychological boost for Ukrainians, and this can help them in the conflict as well. I mean, obviously they're fighting for their country first and foremost, and for themselves, but I mean, it will be a very strong signal that the European Union is, you know, 101% behind them.
Just as much as delivering guns and planes, she said, it shows Europe is on Ukraine's side as a future member of the bloc. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
According to the UN, more than 500,000 refugees have left Ukraine, with tens of thousands more fleeing their country every day. Lesia Bakalet spoke with some of the women and children fleeing the Russian invasion. Anna Rice narrates her story.
4 days on the road, from Kiev to Zhytomyr, then to Rivne and on to the Polish border, joining the 100-kilometer line of cars and people with bags walking along the side of the road. That's what happened to Snezhana when she left Kiev on February 25th to travel to Germany, where she has relatives.
We had to move to a different border, the one with Slovakia. There is still a 6-kilometer line of cars there, but at least it's not 100 kilometers.
After kissing her husband goodbye, she gets on a bus and crosses the Slovakian border. He heads back to Kiev.
We were met at the border, then taken to a school where we could get warm, have a bite to eat and some water. Then friends of our relatives picked us up from there to take us somewhere where we could spend the night. And then we continued on our way to Germany.
On the second day of Russia's invasion, Olga also left Ukraine, together with her 1-year-old son Taras. Today they are safe in Poland.
I'm staying with my husband's sister now. We left Irpin, we heard the shelling and fighting in Hostomel, and literally 2 hours after we left, Russian tanks entered Irpin, Bucha, and Varzel.
Katerina Ilchenko's husband is American. For weeks, he and the whole family had been trying to convince her to leave Ukraine.
I told them I'm not going anywhere. You know why? Because I have not finished renovating the apartment. I finished the kitchen but have not done our bedroom.
After the U.S. State Department strongly urged American citizens to leave Ukraine, Katerina partially gave in. The family left Kyiv and headed to the west of the country a week before the Russian invasion. Now they are planning to leave the country.
We have not gone as far as we could have because I didn't want to leave Ukraine. But anyway, it's better than being at home because one of the first missile strikes hit our neighborhood.
More than 500,000 people like Katerina, Olga, and Snezhana have fled Ukraine, according to the UN, and the number keeps growing. Even more Ukrainians are internally displaced, say experts. It's a refugee crisis in Europe happening in real time. But those Ukrainians who spoke to VOA say they do not want refugee status. They plan to return home. For Lisa Bakalets in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
South Korea and Japan are keeping a wary eye on North Korea as fears mount that a reclusive regime could use the destruction of Russia's invasion of Ukraine to test more ballistic missiles. Already, Pyongyang has carried out 10 missile launches since January. Last week, the U.S., on behalf of about a dozen nations, called on the U.N. to fully implement Security Council resolutions, including tighter sanctions to deter more missile tests. Analysts say with global focus on the war in Kyiv, Kim Jong-un might seize the moment to make a case for lifting sanctions against his impoverished country by making more provocative actions. For more, I spoke with VOA's Seoul Bureau Chief Bill Gallo.
A lot of the sort of the conventional wisdom says that North Korea tests missiles in order to get attention. And perhaps during a moment like this, whenever all the world's attention is focused on Ukraine, maybe it could use that moment to sort of be like, hey, look at me, right? But then there's another side of this that says, well, maybe North Korea is actually going to take advantage of the world's attention to actually test bigger missiles so that it won't actually get condemned and things like that. So, I mean, it's a difficult thing to know what North Korea's motivations are. However, we do know this. In January, they tested more missiles than they ever have before. This was before tensions with Ukraine really spiked. So I think a lot of this simply has to do with North Korea's desire to develop bigger weapons. I'm sure that geopolitics and diplomacy also plays a role in that, but much of this is they want bigger weapons. They are testing them to make sure that they work.
What are the countries around that area? How are they looking at this?
Obviously, international attention is focused on Ukraine. So you saw very few public statements following this latest North Korean test, in fact. The United States, for instance, in their State Department briefing did not mention the North Korean missile test. Japan and South Korea both put out statements, but, you know, they are focused on Ukraine just like many other countries are at the moment.
And the United States, a few days ago, asked the Security Council to think about implementing all the resolutions on North Korea, especially tightening sanctions. Do you think this will in any way matter to North Korea?
No, I think that there is no evidence that China or Russia will put any more sanctions pressure on North Korea for the moment, either in the form of new sanctions or doing a better job at enforcing the current sanctions. This has been a U.S. complaint for a long time that basically China and Russia are not enforcing the sanctions that they themselves voted for, many of them in 2017. And this is a real problem, right? Because what is the point of United Nations Security Council resolutions, in this case sanctions, if even the people who voted for them will not enforce them? So no, I really don't think there's any chance for the moment that either China or Russia will get tougher on North Korea in this way.
What do we know of current situation inside North Korea?
But we've heard many reports of food shortages. That comes from unconfirmed reports. But also, you know, this has been stated pretty explicitly by Kim Jong-un in speeches that this is a very difficult time. He's even in some ways compared it to the 1990s famine, although it's really, really doesn't seem to be a situation that is approaching mass death or anything like that. There are concerns about the coronavirus. I think the widespread expectation is that the coronavirus has reached North Korea, even though we can't be sure of how big of a problem it is. It is, along with Eritrea, two countries that has yet to begin mass COVID vaccinations. That is a real concern, not only from a safety standpoint and a public health standpoint, but also because it means that North Korea can use this as an excuse to really, really severely crack down on domestic movement, its international borders, and just lots and lots of controls that governments around the world have used to sort of crack down on their own populations.
And North Korea relies heavily on China for almost everything. Do you think China can do more than it is doing now, especially with all eyes on China not supporting the international community in condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine?
Well, they certainly could. China has much leverage on North Korea. There's very little evidence that to get tougher on North Korea in this way. In fact, they're pushing for the exact opposite.
That's VOA Seoul Bureau Chief Bill Gallo speaking with me from Seoul. In other news, faced with the threat of financial sanctions targeting Russians, Chelsea Football Club owner Roman Abramovich confirmed Wednesday he is trying to sell the Premier League club he turned into an elite trophy-winning machine with his lavish investments. Abramovich's trophy assets made him a high-profile target for politicians, demanding he be included among wealthy and influential Russians hit with British sanctions after a week of Russia's war on Ukraine. It is one of the most stunning business repercussions of President Vladimir Putin's decision to invade Russia's neighbor. One potential buyer had already gone public to reveal Abramovich was trying to sell with a price tag of at least $2.5 billion floated. Swiss billionaire Hans-Jürgen Weiss claimed he, quote, received an offer on Tuesday to buy Chelsea from Abramovich, unquote, along with three other people. However, Abramovich insisted that, quote, the sale of the club will not be fast-tracked, but will follow due process, unquote. For more on this story and other breaking news, visit our website at voanews.com. Remember to connect with us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Search for VOA Africa. You are listening to VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Afo in Washington. Burkina Faso's six-year conflict with terrorist groups has spread to the southwest of the country and is beginning to spill into neighboring countries. The conflict is also sparking accusations of human rights abuses, as Henry Wilkins reports from southwest Burkina Faso.
Binta Sangare, whose name has been changed to protect her identity, says armed men entered her house one night in November, shouting and shining flashlights on her. She says they kidnapped her husband and disappeared into the night. She says just after the men left, she heard gunshots and that seven people were killed that night. Local people found the bodies of six and the last one a few days later. Her husband's body was among them and later buried. She says the men who took her husband away were Burkinabe security forces. At her husband's funeral, they came again and detained people from the Fulani ethnic group, she says. They came to kidnap and kill without cause or investigation. That makes us scared every day, she told VOA. Burkina Faso has been battling armed groups linked to Islamic State and Al-Qaeda for 6 years. In the last year, the conflict has spread south. Reports of extrajudicial killings by Burkinabe forces, known as FDS, have increased. Rights groups say there is a common misconception that Fulanis are behind many of the terror attacks and say Fulanis make up the majority of victims of pro-government forces. VOA spoke with seven witnesses in the southwest municipality of Jigwe, who said relatives were abducted or killed by security forces in November. Some allege that government-backed civilian militia groups, or VDPs, have been involved in the deaths and disappearances. One witness, whose identity has also been protected, said the Dozos, a militia group, shot and killed his nephew. He says terror attacks have increased and security forces are relying on the Dozos to maintain security. He says the FDS are staying in their bases and letting the Dozos go out into the bush. At first, the FDS were accompanied by the Dozos, and they were interrogating all ethnic groups. But since things are in the Dozos' hands, they are only interested in the Fulani, he added. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Southwest, Burkina Faso.
Women's rights groups protested in Nigeria's capital Wednesday to demand greater representation in the country's state and national parliaments. Lawmakers on Tuesday approved a bill that would set aside 20% of seats for women, a significant boost from current rates. But protesters say one-fifth of seats is not enough. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja.
Some 200 women barricaded the entrance of the Nigerian National Assembly, holding up posters and banners and singing songs in unison. The protesters, including market women, civil servants, and various professionals, prevented lawmakers from entering their offices Wednesday. But the National Assembly passed a bill Wednesday to increase women's share of parliament seats at both the state and national levels to 20%. That's nearly triple the current rate of 7%. But the protesters say they were not satisfied with the outcome. They want 35% of seats to be allocated to women. Cynthia Mbamalu is an organizer of Wednesday's protest.
We need new ideas, new minds, diverse views, which is why we're pushing for women. If you have women in government, there will be an assessment of policies and laws from both male and female lens. And you're looking at issues that affect women and children and young people from a diverse perspective. We cannot expect development or things to change if decisions are made by the same kinds of people.
Hansatu Adegbite, who heads the Women in Business initiative, also took part in the protest.
Women have to arise. Enough is enough. We are appealing to every single woman in any sector. Arise and let our voices be heard. It is about all of us, and we are here to make over this nation once and for all.
Nigeria's lawmakers began an exercise this week to review the country's National Constitution of 1999. The majority of parliament members are men. Women's representation in Nigeria's parliament is among the lowest in the world, around 4%. Activists say patriarchy and cultural biases are some factors influencing women's low participation in government. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's Premier Men's Basketball League to bring you the second season of the BAL. It is game on March 5th, 2022. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Go beyond the daily headlines with VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. Each weekday at 2105 UTC, join me, Steve Miller, as I put the latest developments into a global context with interviews and analysis. Listen online at voanews.com/flashpoint or in your favorite podcast player.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. Next up, a conversation with Anna Borshevskaya, senior fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Peace, about the latest developments in President Vladimir Putin's war against Ukraine. Borshevskaya will address the humanitarian and geopolitical stakes in this asymmetrical conflict, the unity of NATO, the EU, and the United States in punishing Moscow. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours a day at voanews.com. Until next time, I am Chinedu Afo in Washington, wishing you a great day.
Washington, ba-ba-ba-zip.